do want to remind you about something. If you go to our website, or you can get there through our church app, you can get all of the sermons and all the specials. If you happen to miss one, or you just wanted to, you just needed to hear, you know, something from our services, then I'll tell you, it's really simple. Just go to the website and pull it up and listen or watch. I asked today that for our church members, that when you come across on social media one of our church, you know, maybe it's the Facebook Live, or maybe it's the things that are sent by the church this week, would you share it? It's a really simple thing. Share it. You never know who, by sharing that message, may change somebody's life. I don't know. We're just supposed to put it out there. So if you'll do that, it would sure reach a lot more folks. Turn with me to Galatians, the third chapter. I got to admit something to you. I got thrown a curveball this week going back to school. And every year, Brother Danny Hill, who teaches the third year of Greek, always goes through the book of Galatians in his class. And so this summer, I've been working diligently translating the book of Galatians. And as I was doing it, I was preparing sermons, thinking that I would be ahead of the game. But he threw me a curveball. He said, no, we're going to be going into 1 Thessalonians. Which is okay. I probably needed to do this anyway. The Galatians, I've been through the book of Galatians before, but I don't think I truly captured what Paul was trying to say. You know, he was trying to say it in a way that was repetitive. By now you realize that the law is not the same as his grace, and that too many folk, and that it's about not about what we do, but it's about what he's done. And I think sometimes we stop at salvation when we do that and say, well, but other than that, we still got to do this and do that and do this, and it's really not. The more we love our God, the more we're going to want to be like Him and do the things that He wants. We're going to be talking this morning about freedom's relationship. The relationship that we have. Look, it's all about relationships. It's not necessarily about how much we know, about how much you know, Bible that we've interpreted or we've translated. It's not as much about the knowledge. It's not even about how we live our lives, but it's really about the relationships that we establish with other people. And it's really about this relationship that we have with God. That is the number one relationship. And when we understand what that relationship is, then we understand about the law. I'll tell you about a pastor. His name is Lee E. Clove. He's from Illinois. He talks about his first visit to a health club in the 70s. His friend Frank invited him to go, and when they arrived with a room that had a lot of weights on it. They had a room with a lot of weights. Have y'all ever been to a weight room? There are a lot of weights there. Anyway, he had never seen those things before in his life, and so Frank explained to him, you know, they need to spend a few minutes on each machine and exercising all the various muscles as they went along. Well, there was a muscle-bound guy there in charge, and he's a no-nonsense, tight t-shirt type of guy in there, and he walked the group through the use of each of the machines. And after his tour, the Pastor Lee sat down at one of the first one while the few other folks took their places at the other machine, and the guy blew his whistle and says, now hit it. Pastor Lee got on that machine and he, all of his might, and nothing. couldn't budget. All the other folks were doing their, you know, their reps and stuff, but he couldn't budge his. He blew his whistle. Again, nothing happened. He tried harder. Still nothing happened. And all the while, everybody around him was just going and working out. The t-shirt guy yelled at Lee and something like, "Come on, you overweight Daisy," you know, this something like that. And so he redoubled his efforts, but nothing happened. He thought his shoulder was going to separate. He was sweating like a coal miner is what he said. And he says, until he gave up in shame, and he looked down in defeat. At that point, his friend Frank came over to help him out. And Frank looked the thing over and discovered something. Well, someone had pulled the pin on the proper weight. He was trying to lift something like 500 pounds. But that was it for Pastor Lee. He gave up. He walked out because he was so exhausted by all the useless effort that he had expended. Trying to keep the rules is all the time is a lot like Pastor Lee's experience with the weight machine. It leaves you exhausted, frustrated, and ashamed. There is a better way to live. And if you have your Bibles, we'll be turning to Galatians 3, and it'll show us the better way to live. In Galatians 3:23, before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Imprisoned. We were kept as a word for being imprisoned. We were imprisoned by the law. You see, there was a time when all of us believers were imprisoned with the law, and with the law as our guard. We were stuck because unless we lived perfectly, we couldn't get out of that prison with that guard there. We were under lock and key. Oh, it wasn't a prison with bars and barbed wire, but it was a prison of do's and don'ts. It was a prison of expectations that were placed upon us that we could never meet. It was a prison of trying to measure up to all the rules in order to feel accepted and to be loved. But now, because of your faith in Jesus Christ, you are no longer in that kind of prison. We are free. When you trusted Christ, God freed you from the need to perform. God freed you from the demands of the law. God opened the doors to any such prison, and He removed the prison guards. So, please, get out of the prison. The doors are unlocked, and the guards are gone. And please, just leave the prison cell and realize that you can live your life in complete freedom through Christ. Enjoy the freedom that God has granted you. Anybody ever seen the film called The Shankshaw Redemption? Ellis Redding spent his prime years wasting away in prison because of a reckless act of violence he committed when he was a teenager. And after 40 years of imprisonment, he was finally released to enjoy the long-awaited freedom that he wanted so desperately. However, he couldn't free himself of the habit of asking permission each time he wished to use the men's room. He had become institutionalized. His new life scared him because he'd grown accustomed to the structure behind bars. He wasn't used to thinking for himself. He wasn't used to making decisions for himself. Someone did all the thinking for him. And now on the outside, he faced a prospect more daunting and terrifying than the incarceration. And that prospect was of freedom. At one point, he read contemplated various ways to break his parole and return back to the security of his prison cell. And he summed his dilemma up in one word. It is a terrible thing to live in fear. People get caught in the trap of legalism are no different than red. They're scared to death of the freedom that grace brings because it's much easier to retreat to the cells of the do's and the don'ts. It's structured. Even though we can't keep them all, it's safe. It's much easier just to have somebody tell us what to do than it is to make decisions for ourselves. But that's not what God wants us for. He wants us to be free. To think for ourselves. Because God has freed us from the prison of the law. So get out of prison and stop listening to your babysitter. Yes, I said babysitter. That's right. That's how the next verse describes the law. It's not only a prison guard, it's a babysitter. Let's look at verses 24 and 25. Therefore, the law was our tutor, our babysitter, and we'll get to that in a second, to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor or a babysitter. So the law was our guardian, our child conductor, our babysitter. We no longer need a babysitter. In Bible days, this babysitter was usually one of the household slaves. He was given charge of the master's sons from about the time they were 6 to 7 years old until they were, 17 or 18, old enough to make decisions for themselves. And it was his job to make sure the boys got to school. It was his job to teach the boys to obey and discipline them when they didn't obey. It was his job to teach the boys, right from wrong. It was his job, this tutor, this babysitter, to use the rod on the boys every time they got out of line. I don't know. I never had too many babysitters, but I ever had a good babysitter and a mean one? Maybe you can relate to this. Substitute teachers. You had some that you just... They come in and they had no pretense of keeping the... They would just let you do whatever you want to. It was just big... Oh, man. And then you had the mean ones. The mean one come in and said, "Now you got to do that." And they were much worse than your regular teacher. And they were not going to put up. And by the time the class was over, you know what happened. They had their hair all pulled out. Because they couldn't keep the order. So, this was a mean babysitter. The law is... You could not break one rule. You couldn't. There was no grace, no mercy, because that slave was at the mercy of his master. The boys got out of line. It was his responsibility. That is the law. It's a mean, strict babysitter which threatens you with punishment every time you misbehave. But the good news is that you have trusted Christ, so you're no longer under a babysitter. You put your faith in Christ. You are no longer under the law. And why is that? You are free because you are loved. God favors you unconditionally. God accepts you as you are, and He treats you as His own grown children. That's right. God treats you as His own full adult sons. I always had this in my mind that when we became Christians, we were little babies. No. We're grown adult sons when Galatians 3:26 says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you are a son of God. The moment you put your faith in Christ, you not only became a child of God, you became His full adult child. And that's the meaning of the word sons in this context. In other words, God doesn't treat you like little babies in His family. He treats you as mature, grown-up sons and daughters. You know, when our children were little, we put them under the care of a babysitter. Every time we left the house, most of the time that was grandma, one of the grandmas. But now, they're grown. They're all married, happily engaged in their careers, and so it would be silly for us to hire a babysitter to watch over them, wouldn't it? Well, we just hired this person to come watch over you because we just want to help. Wouldn't go over too well in our... Wouldn't, it just wouldn't. You know why? Because they don't need it. And those of you who have had little children know they require constant care and watch. You need to watch over them. They are labor intensive. But let me tell you, it does get better. It's amazing what just having a little one start crawling does. It changes things. It's a different kind. And then one day you're saying, I'll just be glad when they're out of their terrible twos. I'll be glad when they get past this stage. I'll be glad when they get in high school. And the next thing you know, they're getting married and you're going, no, I want them back. But at a certain point, they grow up. You don't have to discipline any longer. You don't have to clean up their messes. Not to kind of, sometimes you have to clean their messes up as adults, but for the most part, you don't have to go pick up toys. You don't have to clean up all the messes they make as they're learning how to live in life. You don't have to wipe their snotty noses or keep a constant eye on them anymore. Matter of fact, I enjoy having adult-to-adult conversation with my boys. I enjoy their company when they come to visit. And I enjoy the friendship that I have with these wonderful young adults that are my sons. Matter of fact, I'm pretty proud of them as adults. Do you know that's the way God feels about you and put your trust in Christ? God enjoys relating to you as His adult sons and daughters, and He is proud of what you've become in Christ. So you know what you need to do? Stop trying to prove yourselves, because you don't have to do that with God. He already accepts you as you are. God treats you as His own full adult sons and daughters. That's because He treats you as His own Son, Jesus Christ. You see, when God looks at you, do you know who He sees? He sees Jesus. That's what He sees. My grandchildren can never do any wrong. You know, they're pretty special kids. I'm just saying. My kids are pretty special too. Why is that? Why do you think I think that? Because they're my kids. They're my kids. When Christ looks at us, He sees His kids. His fully grown adult kids who have come to the understanding of who Jesus Christ is and has accepted Him into His heart and their life. In Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit, it says, baptized you into Christ. Do not misunderstand this. It is not talking about water baptism. The word baptizo means immerse. It could be immersing in anything. So what are you immersing in? You are being immersed into Christ. You are being plunged into His righteousness so that you are no longer visible. Now, the only thing God sees when He looks at you is beauty and the glory of Christ. You're clothed with Christ. Therefore, you are fully accepted by Christ before you say or do anything. The picture here is in the Roman world. The Bible says when a young man came of age, he went through a very significant ceremony. In that ceremony, the young man was clothed with a special toga, the toga virilis, which signifies the passing from childhood into adulthood. When that boy put on the toga virilis, the whole community began to recognize him as a man. And he was granted all the rights and the responsibilities of full citizenship. And that's the picture we have in verse 27. For as many of you have put on Christ, put on Him. And what you're wearing is Him. And so that's what God sees. When you come to faith in Christ, you put on a spiritual toga virilis. And you put on Christ Himself. And now, God grants you all the rights and all the responsibilities of full adult citizens in His kingdom. We are not babes in Christ. We are full adults who have put on Christ in our life. He accepts you not only as His child, but as a fully mature adult son or daughter, because you have put on Christ Himself. So quit trying to prove yourself, because you have already been proving yourself in God's eyes. You have been approved by God already. Since you put your faith in Christ, God treats you as a full adult or daughter. He treats you as His own son. And He treats you as equally valuable sons. In other words, He has no favorite. There have been many times people come to me and say, "Can you pray for me? Because you got a better line to Him than I do." No. Ephesians 3:28. Look what it says. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. You get it? No matter who you are, Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, black or white, rich or poor, young or old, Democrat, Republican, blue collar, white collar, no matter who you are the same. You're the same. It makes no difference to God. He does not play favorites. God did not value Billy Graham any more than He values the weakest believer in His family. No, He values us all the same. Matter of fact, He values you as much as He does Billy Graham. He values you as much as He does Mother Teresa. He values you as much as He values the greatest saint who ever lived. We are all one in Christ. So we have nothing to prove. Each of us is just as valuable. Do you know where some families where the favorites are being played? Unfortunately, I do. It creates problems, doesn't it? It creates issues. God doesn't play favorites. So you don't have to jockey for position with God. You say, "Well, I'm trying to do this, 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 and get ahead of everybody else." There is no ahead. When the disciples came up to Christ and says, "Hey, you know," James and John's mother came up and says, "Hey, what's it going to take, basically, to get them set up high in the kingdom of God?" And He just looked at them. "Now, you got to be a servant first." There's no pecking order here. You know what? God's been telling some of you for years, "I like you just the way you are." Please, let this be the day that you really hear Him in your heart. That God loves you the way you are. Now, as you develop your relationship with your Heavenly Father, you'll want to get rid of things that displeases Him. You'll want to do things that please Him. But it won't because He said, "Thou shalt." It's because thou want. Because of your faith in Christ. God treats you as a full adult or son or daughter. He treats you as His own son. He treats you all as equally valuable sons. And finally, because of your faith in Christ, God treats you as a rich heir. God treats you better than a billionaire because that's what you are. Look, every day I go to the mailbox, there's that chance that some long lost heir, some long lost relative of mine who had lots of money made me an heir. And I was going to get some money. Just a fleeting thought. You know, it'd be such a wonderful thing to have that happen. Except for the fact somebody had to die to do it. But, you know, if the thought crosses your mind, wouldn't you like to be an heir of a billionaire? You know, you'd pretty much comfort there financially. But I want you to look in Galatians 3:29, what it says. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You see, Christ is a descendant of Abraham. In fact, according to verse 16, Christ is the offspring of Abraham, to whom God had promised what? A rich inheritance. Well, if you belong to Christ, if you're part of His body, then that rich inheritance is yours as well. It is yours because if you are in Christ, the offspring of Abraham, then you get everything that Abraham gets. Romans 4:13 talks about the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be the heir of the world. Now, y'all were probably thinking a couple hundred thousand dollars, maybe $1 million, something like that. We're not talking about something trivial like that. He is going to make us heir to the entire world. You see, when Christ, you trust Christ for your life, you're not only a child of God, you're not only an adult child of God, but you're an adult child of God who has succeeded far beyond anything anybody could ever imagine. You have nothing left to prove to God or anybody else. You've got it all. So stop trying to lift the unbearable weight of trying to earn God's acceptance or anyone else's acceptance. Instead, understand and know this in your heart. You are free because you are loved. You are free from the constraints of the law. You are free from having to measure up. You are free from the pressure to perform because God already treats you as His full, adult, incredibly successful children. You're guaranteed success. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about material things here. If you're gauging this message upon material things, then I think you probably got it all wrong. Your success is based upon the inheritance that God gives you. And what is that? All things under the sun. To rule and reign with Him forever. David Siemens, in his book Healing for Damaged Emotions, describes a missionary who had a different view of God. And as a result, he ended up leaving the mission field a broken man. His name was Dr. Joseph Cook, and he later became an anthropologist. And Dr. Cook said this, "I invented an impossible God, and I had a nervous breakdown. God's demands of me were so high, and His opinion of me was so low, there was no way to live except under His frown. All day long He nagged me. Why don't you pray more? Why don't you witness more? When will you ever learn self-discipline? How can you allow yourself to indulge in such wicked thoughts? Do this, don't do that. Yield, confess, work harder." And he said, "Most of all, I had a God who down underneath considered me to be less than dirt. Oh, He made a great ado about loving me, but I believed that the day-to-day love and acceptance I longed for could only be mine if I let Him crush me nearly everything that was really me. And when it came down to it, there was scarcely a word or a feeling or a thought or a decision of mine that God really liked. Perhaps that's the way some of you may feel about God this morning. Maybe you feel like you're under a yoke of oppression by being a Christian. Let me tell you, if that's the case, there's only two possibilities. One is that you're a saved child of God and you never left a jail cell. That you're trying to earn your way out and the gate is open and the prison guard is gone. You don't have to anymore. And all you have to do is walk out and be free. The other possibility is that maybe you've never been set free. That you've been trying to work your way out of that prison cell of the law. And it ain't working. And you need to accept His wonderful grace in your life. If you feel this way though, you feel that you're being burdened, that God's being oppressor to you, I hope that you heard today, what you heard today changes that. That you don't have to go about your life constantly trying to please God, you already have. The moment that you ask Jesus Christ into your heart and your life, He looked at you in a whole different way. You become changed on the inside. And what He looks at you now, He sees His Son. You know what? When I look at my grandkids, I see my sons. Because they look just alike. And that's what I see. And that's what He sees. I hope that what you heard today frees you from the pressure to perform. So that you can begin to enjoy your relationship with the Lord. Because we get it out of order. We get it out of order. You see, what we do is we try to work for His pleasure. And we'll spread the gospel to people. We'll tell people about Jesus. But all the while we're doing it not for them. We're doing it for us, trying to please God. And it's just backwards. We are to accept God. Understand that God loves us. And because God loves us so much and what He's done for us in our life, we want to share that with others. Because we know He loves me. And that He'll love them too, no matter who they are. He does not consider you less than dirt. On the contrary, He's quite proud of what you've become in Christ. Is He happy with everything that you do? Absolutely not. And as a parent will correct his children or lead by example, He will show us the error of our ways. You know, no matter how many times I got a whooping, and I ain't going to tell you how many times that was, I love my dad even more today than I ever did. You know why? It wasn't because he whooped me. Because he's my dad. Because my relationship. And I've disappointed him many times in my life. You know what? I know he loves me too. Not because of what I did, but because of who I am to him. God loves you. Don't think of yourself as dirt. Get yourself out of that prison cage and start enjoying the life that He wants you to live. There is no pressure to perform anymore. You don't have to work to please Him anymore because He is already pleased with you. Let it grip your heart. You are free because you are loved. This morning, you may be here today and you've never experienced that freedom that only Christ can give. Maybe you've been thinking that you can make God like you by the things that you do, the things that you say. If you're doing that, I assure you of one thing. It's going to end up like the guy who's trying to lift the 500 pounds. You're going to end up frustrated because you'll never be able to do it on your own. You're going to have to accept His grace, His mercy, and His forgiveness, and His promise. To accept His promise that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. This morning, if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life and you've been struggling, then I suggest to you this morning that Christ will be touching your heart and talking to you and saying to you, come and know me so I can set you free. If you're here today and you've been set free, but yet you trying to live your life to please God, and you're trying to do all these things, you're missing the point. You're still in the jail cell. You need to get out. The gate's open. The guards are gone. And you can live your life in the freedom that God has want for your life. Not freedom to do your own will, but freedom to do His. So if you're living your life trying to follow rules and regulations, trying to please God, I'll tell you, it's pointless. You'll never be able to do it. You'll never find the freedom of this life that God wants for you. Quit living your life inside the prison walls and walk out this morning and be free indeed. So as we stand and prepare for an invitation, I don't know your heart, I don't know your life, I don't know what God's talking to you about, but I'll tell you this much. I have a feeling He's talking to all of us in some way. What is it this morning that God's needing from you? What is it that's needing to change? What is it that's keeping you from enjoying the freedom of this life that God wants for our lives? What is it? You have to answer that question that you need to ask God this morning. Why? So as we sing this morning, would you come? Would you change that? Have God change your heart and your life and send you back to what?
Number 563. 563.